Awkward moment of realizing Miles is not here. I get a front row view to it. I can always see when people first see. It's kind of one of these. Bad news out of the way, Miles is not here. Good news is, Miles has been traveling the entire earth, South Africa, London, preaching all over South Africa in a bunch of huge churches, preaching the gospel. And in the last couple of weeks, in seven times preaching in Africa and London, over 1,000 people have gotten saved, have come down. Amen. More good news is I'm going to go short today. I'm going to let you out a little bit early. We got something special for you. I got a little assignment that we want you to do. I'm sure you might have seen, whether you're here or North County or East County or even online, you've seen all the ministry we had. You walked in, there's a ministry fair going on outside. And my encouragement is going to be this. We're not going to say, oh, go sign up for a ministry right now. We just want you to take a good look at what God is doing through the Rock Church. Take a good look at what they're doing from the Rock Church. So if everyone could do me a favor, stand up. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. The Bible says we should all greet each other with a holy kiss. We're not going to do that this morning. But what I want you to do is reach out and meet someone around you. Tell someone your name. Tell them, welcome to the Rock. Tell them, welcome to the Rock. This is for North County. Also, same thing. East County, if you're online, email somebody. Awesome. Very cool, very cool. I do want to welcome our campuses. North County is in the house, and East County, welcome to East County. Also welcome to everyone out there online, especially my wife and my two kids, Sawyer and Hunter, who I know are watching online. Let's give all of them a big hand, everyone else who is watching besides us here. Let me pray for us this morning. Lord, thank you so much for this place where we can come and we can worship you. And yes, Lord, holy, holy, holy is your name. Just pray that you pour out into this room, Lord, that you'd pour out and give us a giving spirit. Help us, Lord, to realize all that you've given us is for us to freely give and bless others around us. So show us what you made us for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, my name is Tommy. I'm one of the pastors here, and I've been at The Rock for about 10 years now, and I get the privilege of overseeing our outreach ministries, and I tell Miles this all the time. I have a better job than his. I have the best job here at The Rock, because all these ministries are volunteer ministries, and I absolutely am blessed to be part of what God's doing. I feel like I have a front row seat to what God is doing, and I also feel like it's all God's blessing, because I didn't do anything to deserve being here. You know, pull out your lesson plan, the title is Before and After. And I have a pretty significant before and after, significant for me anyways. Before and after. And I want to talk a little bit about before and after, but not so much before and after I got saved, but before and after, a different kind of before and after. And side note, if you Google before and after, because yesterday I was just Googling because I knew that was the title of my sermon, Before and After. If you Google before and after images, what do you think you see? You see, obviously, in my mind, anyway, you'll see the muscle guys, you know, before I got in shape, after I got in shape, and all that. The funny thing is, though, when you Google it, you see those, but there was a lot of other images on the first page that kind of blew me away. It was a lot of it was filled with people before the meth monster, and people after the meth monster. So I feel like I just want to throw it out there, nothing to do with the sermon. Don't do meth. Okay? Write that down if you need to. Maybe special message for East County. Just kidding, just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Nothing to do with the message, but I just found it bizarre that, you know, don't do that or you will look like a Halloween creature on the after part. You know, but before and after. There's a huge significant before and after that happened in my life before I got saved and after I got saved. And that's not what I want to talk about. I've shared my testimony plenty of times before. Drugs, alcohol, violence, robbery, lighting stuff on fire. Stuff we all did before we were saved. Amen? And that, if you want to read about that, there's a magazine out there with the whole article that gives my whole testimony. That's great. It's out in the lobby. They have the United Magazine. It's got a really good-looking guy on the cover of the magazine. And that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about a different kind of before and after. You know, when I got saved in 97, best day of my life, for sure. Best day of my life. I responded to the gospel. I walked forward. I raised my hand. I didn't know they were going to say come forward. I didn't know any of that stuff. I stood up, and the whole deal, I'm down there, oh my goodness, what I had no idea what hit me, and it changed my life forever. That's why I'm glad to be a part of a church where we still do that, because I know that sometimes life just radically gets transformed right then. So what I did for the next 3 years from 97 to 2000 is I went to church. I went to church every week. I went to church every single week. I bought a Bible. I read my Bible every day. What I didn't do is talk to anybody because there was a problem. There was a problem with church. I would come to church and you people were all there at church. And I had this, I didn't like church people at all. I didn't like the church experience. I loved the message and I needed that shot of God every time. But I didn't like the people. And so what I did was, you know, I didn't say one word in 3 years and nobody said a word to me in 3 years going every single week. Now, part of that's because, I mean, I was a lot bigger than them, about 255 pounds and had my head shaved. And I pretty much growled at everybody because I just really wanted the church people to stay away from me. I just wanted to come there and hear something good and have my ears tickled. Then something happened. The rock started and I went to... the first service I went to at the Rock, the Rock's first service, somebody asked me, it's literally the first time anyone talked to me. I cannot remember any one person outside of when I went forward and did the altar call, one person talking to me or me talking to them. There was just no connection. I was very intentional about, I just want to go and I just want to leave. And I know some of you kind of go like this when you hear that because we have a lot of people that do that here at the church. And here's why I want to share this and encourage you to go from that before and go to that after. Because in 2000, when The Rock started, someone asked me, said, hey, they were doing the camera, and they said, do you know how to run a camera? I was like, no. And he said, well, it's really easy. Can I show you? And I was literally thinking, I just wanted to say no, but I was like, fine. And I get behind the camera, and I'm irritated. I wanted to leave. I was like so offended that, you know, what do you think this is? Free Labor Day that I'm, you know, supposed to be taking care of this camera? So I did it, and afterwards he said, hey, great job. Can you do it again next week? I said, I don't think so. I don't know if I'm going to be here next week. I didn't want to. Long story short, I came back next week. Didn't sit really near that camera. But the guy, his name was Rudy, found me, remembered my name, brought me over, sat me down at the camera again. And I actually did that for a few years. Something happened, I think, that second week, and God poured out a vision in my life. I realized all of a sudden that I was a fan. That was it. I was sitting in the stands. I wasn't getting in the field and playing. And something happened radical in my life. God told me, it's time to get in the game. And I started from there. I did the deal. I was small groups guy. I was this guy, that guy. Just involved in everything. Let me tell you something. First off, I still didn't like church people. It was awkward. I get that. There's some, you know, and some of you can relate because you go to, you know, there's some of the Christians are creepy, like Michael Jr. says. You know, but they're all not. And I started realizing there's some really cool people. There's some really cool stuff going on. This is a really cool, different feeling to be involved. And something radical happened. When I jumped out there, when I hit that turning point and I made that change and I just jumped in and started doing stuff with church, God opened up the windows of heaven and poured out blessing and joy on my life like I had never experienced before in my life. And I realized it was not about me and what I could get. It was about connecting with other people and God blessing me. You know, it was amazing. It was life-changing experience. It was that before and after where I realized there's nothing more in life except to serve God. If you can open your Bible to 2 Corinthians 9. Little thunderstorms outside. 2 Corinthians 9. Boom. That's funny, right? When you mention the Bible, all of a sudden the demons get in the microphone. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Says, remember this. I'm going to read all the verses and then I'm going to go through them again. It says this. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they shall freely and give, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides the seed for the farmer and the bread to eat it. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of believers will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and all believers will prove to you that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given you. Thank God for this gift too wonderful for words. So let's go back through this. You know, one of the most awesome things about the Bible is it's not some cryptic code that you have to have a theology degree to figure out. Okay, God speaks to us and will speak to us. It's His word. He's going to speak to you in language that you can understand. I will never completely understand the Bible, but there's some things in there. Like, let's look. Remember this. Okay, what do you think it means when the Bible says remember this? Okay, I didn't learn this in seminary. But it means, remember this. It's an important thing to remember. Remember this, the Bible says. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Me, you, all of us, we have to decide in our own hearts what to give. It goes on to say, don't give reluctantly in response to pressure. It has nothing to do with someone encouraging you to give, telling you to give. You have to decide, I have to decide what to give in my own heart. No one else can make that decision for you. Give, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Look what it says. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over. Then, if you're filling in your blanks on your notes, change happens in a moment. Change happens in a moment. Change is not one of those things, and it might take a long time to build up to that change, but the real change actually happens in a moment. And God's word, you know, some of this stuff, when God promises it, you got to say, God, this is your promise. God can't lie. And he says right here, you know, God loves a cheerful giver, and God will generously provide all you need, then you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. God blesses us so that we can bless others. Am I imagining things, or doesn't someone just walk up here and bugging me? Nothing to see here, folks. Are we there? There we go. Let's give him a hand. Anything else you need, let me know. Here for you. Okay, let's start from the very beginning. Why would God bless you just so you could be blessed? Why would God bless me just so I could be blessed? God blesses us so that we can turn around and bless others so that, and it goes on, there's a reason for it. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they give freely and generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Check it out. Everything we do in our life will bring one of two things. Regret or reward. There is no in between. You know, this whole lifetime is this short compared to eternity. And everything we do in our life, whether we're doing it for ourselves or we're doing it to help others, is going to either bring us regret, and we're going to say, oh, I blew it with that, or it's going to be reward. The Bible says there's a time where Jesus will look at everything we've done, and he's either going to give you reward, or we're going to have regret. For God is the one who provides the seed for the farmer and the bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Check it out. God is the one who God's given us everything. Everything. You know, all that we have to give is just giving back. It's already been giving it to us. We have a hard time, I think, as people generally, we assume this is mine. I think we have to come from a concept, or I know we have to come from a concept. It all came from God anyway. We get to give some of it back. God is the one who provides the seed for the farmer and then the bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. If you're filling your blanks, number two, you can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. And here's what I'm talking about, guys. This is not a message about you giving your money. This is your entire life. Everything that you have belongs to God. What are you giving back to it? What are you doing to turn that and serve that to other people, to other blessings? You know, money's just the kind of the tangible, measurable thing where we really hold on to, and you know, because it's just so hard. You know, if you will just, that's the one place in the Bible where if you'll trust God, he says you can actually test him on that. I know this because I've tested him myself. And as I said, as soon as I did, God opened up the heavens and blessed my life in ways that I would have never seen coming. You will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. There's a reason God has blessed you, so that you can be generous. You want to be more blessed? Be more generous. God will provide even more. You want to have all you need? Give more away. And again, not just your money, but your life. What are you doing to further the kingdom of God, to help the person next to you, to not just wake up thinking about yourself? And believe me, whenever I preach something, I'm talking to me first. Because when I wake up in the morning, I'm always on my mind. Okay, that's how I start my day every day, and that's how we all do. I have to do things to raise my hand and say, okay, God, put something in front of me. And God does, and gives me opportunities, despite my own self, to be generous and to work through others. And then I see God show up, and I can't even put words on it. It's so supernatural. And here's why I think we have kind of a hard time with this. When we serve ourselves, when you do something, that's why, you know, when we serve ourselves, you get immediate gratification, you know, because I know what I'm going for myself. You know, I think that's why so many people are addicted to drugs and pornography and violence and whatever they're hooked on, because there's that immediate result. When you serve others, it's more of a fog happiness. It doesn't always feel like you're getting anything. It feels like work, because it usually is. when you're serving other people. But there's this fog happiness that fills your heart and fills your life with joy. I've seen it. It's not just me. I've seen the people who start these ministries out there. I've seen people who come and they're not serving. They start serving. I've seen God absolutely transform their lives. You know, I've seen them go from before someone just going to church and then jump in both feet, and all of a sudden, God just opens up their life. You know, I've gone to the gym for a long time, LA Fitness and 24-Hour Fitness, and, you know, for years and years I'd go, and, you know, I'd bench press, iPad, iPhone, whatever, walk around, listen, go do some curls. Boring, hour and a half goes by, I leave and go home. You know, I did that for years, and always considered myself fit because I actually showed up to the gym and walked around, put a lot of miles on the floor there at LA Fitness. You know, and I did you know, some other stuff on the side, been doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu for a long time. Just, you know, so I thought, you know, I'm in shape. This one guy tells me, hey, you know what, you got to try this thing called CrossFit. Said, what is it? He tells me, you know, they compete. And I'm thinking, that sounds so silly that you exercise to compete. I don't get that. It makes no sense at all. And for whatever reason, another guy said, hey, man, you got to check this out. It's the best thing that ever happened. So I went to a place about 5 months ago called CrossFit Barracks. It's near my house up in Rancho Bernardo. And I was blown away at how little I knew about exercise and working out. I loved it. I was immediately hooked. Don't get me wrong. I know I look like I'm good at it, but I'm not really good at it. First 3 months, I think I was last place every single day. And I hated every exercise and almost wanted to throw up and burpees, and it was horrible, but I was hooked. I couldn't get enough of it. And I started thinking, why is this so addictive? Why am I getting this rush out of it? Because I don't like running. I don't like kettlebells. I don't like being told, hurry up, let's go, let's go. I hate burpees. They're the worst thing ever invented. They're not of God. And I'm almost throwing up at the end of every class, and I'm last place every day, and everybody's like cheering for me, and it's just, I'm like, can I just be last place, like under the radar without everybody like, and I was thinking about it, and I couldn't put my finger on it, and then I realized, here's why I love it so much, because the culture and the community and the doing things together. It's amazing. You get together a group of people and everyone encourages each other, and the coach is encouraged. And if you're in last place, you're encouraged most, which awesome for me. And it's so over the top encouraging to be part of connecting with people and doing something together with other people for the same common purpose that it opened up and changed every way I looked at it. Same thing as when I was going to church. You know, just coming on Sundays, you are missing out on what God has. You're like me at LA Fitness. You don't want to be like me at LA Fitness. Not trying to bash LA Fitness, but you don't want to be just come, sit, go to church, and go. God has so much more for you. God has so much more for you. Look at Romans 12, if you could. Romans 12, look what it says. It says, so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. So again, if we're reading the Bible, this is he's saying that this is important. Paul's saying, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. He's begging you. I plead of you, give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly a way to worship him. He's pleading you not because he needs you to. He's pleading to because he wants you to get it. He wants you to get that if you do this, if you give everything, this is what God uses to bless you. I know it's weird. Blessing others is what's going to bless your life. It's a fact. I've seen it happen so many times that it's not strange to me anymore. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. We just did an entire series on worship. You know, part of worship is what do you do with your life? It's not just coming in and raising your hands. What are you doing with the rest of your entire life? And some of the translations, like the New King James Service says, which is your reasonable service. You know, it only makes sense when God's poured out His blessings on your life to return those and to give them to someone else. You know, God's given us everything, and we get to give it back. We have the wrong perspective if we think we're giving some of ours to God. If we think we're giving some of our money to God. If we think we're giving some of our life to God. We are not. It's all God's blessing. He just wants us to return it and give to those around us help. I had a friend of mine who, you know, was telling me that, you know, we were talking about tithing. And he said, well, I don't tithe. He makes a lot of money. He said, I don't tithe, I tithe. So what's tithe? I do 5% because I make too much money to give 10%. So he tithes. He believes in tithing, not tithing. It's not in the Bible. It's just a word he made up on his own. I thought, man, that is so scary that you think that because that your life is a blessed even more. You think I'm too blessed to be able to acknowledge that comes from God. You know, if you're filling your blanks, number three, ministry is an act of worship. It's an act of worship. I'm blessed beyond belief, you know, and it's not by my own doing. It's just, I just raise my hand and God puts in front of me. If you raise your hand and say, okay, I'll step out and serve. If you go too near a camera or something, someone might ask you, get on the camera and do the thing. Sometimes just step up and God will provide the directions, all the next steps. Here's my challenge for you today. Like I said, we're going to get out a little bit early. And what I want you to do is, I want you to go out and see what God is doing in our city through these ministries. And this, both campuses and online, if you're online, click the thing, look at all the ministries we're doing. Don't go out and sign up. And you know what? It's not even just about the outreach ministries. It's about anything that we're doing. It takes a lot to do Sunday. You know, whether it's the usher greeters or the security or the children's ministry. The children's ministry, they don't just babysit your kids. They teach kids about Jesus and lead people to the Lord each and every week. You know, or if you connect with a small group or a discipleship, just something. Do something where you raise your hand and say, I'm gonna see what's really going on and think about going from before to after. You know, when you go out there, don't go out there to, oh, I'm just going to find a ministry sign up. Go out there to bless somebody. You know, every single one of those leaders out there is volunteers. Not one of them is on staff. They all do this because God called them to do it. And they keep doing it, and they put hours in per week because they're blessed. Their lives end up being blessed from it with that fog happiness. You know, if you walk outside and there's not a ministry like, we will even show you how to start a ministry. You know, we're a different kind of church. We're not looking for you to join our ministries. We're looking for you to do what God has made you to do. You know, if you want to find Lori or Zeb, remember those names, and go out there and find them and say, I want to start a ministry, they'll show you how to go through the process to start a ministry. You know, if you're from another church, we do a summit. We teach other churches how to do this. There's a summit coming up in a couple weeks, November 6th and 7th, I think it is. If you're from another church and you want to learn how to do this, come to the summit. I mean, we don't do it to make money. It's only $99 for a two-day summit. And if you tell them I sent you, $99. To see what, you know, what happens when you empower God's people. You know, some questions to ask yourself that I ask someone when someone's saying, what kind of ministry are you involved in? What's God made you for? What do you like to do? What are you good at? What do you do for a living? Most importantly, what does God have for you? Even if you're not going to sign up for a ministry because you're too busy, go out and tell them thank you. Go out and tell them thank you for all you're doing. What's happening in these ministries is staggering. I asked all the directors to come up with you know, some praise reports and some stuff that's going on in their ministry. And it's so many pages, I can't even go in. I went over this for 2 hours to try and kind of pare it down. And there's so much in here, I can't even go over all that is happening through these ministries because there's just not enough time. You have to go out and look for yourself. And if you think that you don't have time, you know, that you're too busy, that's rubbish. That's nonsense. It's not true. Okay, your life is God's. You know, I'm busy. I have a wife and two kids and, you know, job and all this other kind of stuff that I do. But really, it all belongs to God. I need to go to God and say, God, find something. Even if it's come early on Sunday and help with the usher greeter. Somehow, some way, if it's financially help this, if it's whatever it is, jump in and do this deal. Not for me, because I say so, but because you purposed in your heart, you decided in your heart. You know, the word decide literally means to cut off all other options. You know, sometimes cutting off all other options is going to someone and say, I'm going to come help you. And show up willing to help them. Don't sign up and then sit there and go, oh, they never called me back. Drives me nuts when I hear people say that. Go knock on their door. They don't call you back, call them again. They keep calling them. They don't call you back, start calling them at like 11:30 at night. They'll call you back. Do whatever you got to do to find out where they're meeting and get a piece of what God is doing, what the blessing God has in your life. If you're filling your blanks, number four, you have no excuse. You have no excuse. You know, like I said, my life's plenty full. I have a beautiful wife, amazing wife, two kids. Part of God just pouring out blessing on my life is my family. And I truly believe at the end of my life, If at the end of my life, if I'm found to be a good husband and father, my life will be a success. And if at the end of my life, I'm not found to be a good husband, I'm not found to be a good father, my life will be a failure. It's as simple as that for me. Period. Period. That's only measuring stick for my life success. Now, part of that is I have to show my kids what it's like to serve God, what it's like to connect with other people, and what it's like to serve alongside of people and be part of something that's bigger than just me. You know, my parents did the same for me. They were a great example for me, and I was probably not the easiest kid to have. But I remember one day my dad pulled over when we were on the way to school. I grew up in Nebraska, and it was snowing. Someone was stuck in the ditch, and he pulled over, and I was probably 7 or 8 years old, and he said, stay in the truck, and he tied up the chain to them, and he pulled them out in the snow. It was cold, and it was blizzard conditions. He pulled them out. They were stuck. They wanted to pay him, and he wouldn't take payment, and he left. And I can remember how much that impacted me as, number one, it's weird. Like, why are you doing that? We don't know them. We don't know those people. And not only that, they tried to give you money, and you didn't take it? That's weird. That's not how I was wired. But it impacted me. I saw that. I saw what it's like. It's just how he does it. He goes out and clears everybody's thing with a snow thing and clears everybody's driveway. He did that, and I remember that example. You know, and my mom has this moral compass. She just follows the rules. Again, those genetics did not transfer to me at all. And I didn't get that. But then later on in my life, I mean, it took a lot of years for me to realize, you know what, my parents were actually really good parents. And really cool, and really knew, you know, really knew a lot more than I gave them credit for. You know, your kids are watching you, your wives, your husbands, your people are watching you. How do you act around other people? You know, and I know this is a lot to ask. That we're basically saying, we want you to feel uncomfortable just coming to church and sitting there. You know, and if that bothers you, if that offends you, you know, matter of fact, if that bothers you, offends you, I want to know about it. You know, matter of fact, if you don't like anything about this experience, the worship, the carpet color, the anything, email me. I want to hear about it. ricky.page@sdrock.com. I really want to know. I really want to know what you think. You know what? Miles has said it. I've said it. Everyone, we're going to continue to say, let's go. You know, there's two lines of people. Miles says that analogy. One's going to hell. One's going to heaven. Those of us that are going to heaven, we need to reach out to those people. We need to walk out there. You know, it's a big deal that we take our lives and we spend them for the better good. Two things I want you to do. Number one, go bless a ministry. I'm letting you out early, and I want you to go out and just walk around and see what God is doing. Say hello to a ministry leader at the very least. If not, find out how you can help, where you can fit in. Pray about it. Do that before you leave. Number two, I want to start to share all the stuff that's going on because I can't get it out this way. You know, if you have a Twitter account, follow me on Twitter. For the rest of the year, I'm going to do my best to introduce you to our ministry leaders and our ministry that's going on out there. You know, so click follow. If you're too old to know what Twitter is, turn to someone young and say, what is Twitter and how do I find this? Then get a computer and an iPhone and stuff like that. But I really want you to open up your eyes to what God is doing. And more importantly, open up your eyes. God, what do you have for me? Why am I here at the Rock Church? So we're going to pray. And then the East County and North County, they're going to send you on some specific directions. And then I'm going to send you some specific directions on what you could do here. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for all those ministries and those people who, Lord, have just raised their hand and you provided for them and for their blessings. I pray, Lord, that for each and every person here, you would help us go from before to after, Lord, not because I'm saying so, or not because some of the preacher is saying so, Lord, but because your Spirit is guiding us. Lord, we just want to be found faithful at the end of our life. We want there to be reward, not just regret. So help us, Lord, not to live for ourselves, but to live for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So for this campus in particular, for Point Loma, here's what I want you to do. Outside, there to the left, I know we all go right. Everybody point this way. Point with me. Because half the ministries are out back. So walk back there and at least look at what's going on and then walk around out front. Just see what God is doing. You know, ultimately, I want you to decide in your heart. Don't leave yet. We still got to do our final prayer. Decide in your heart. But in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, one of the things I tell people all the time is, you know, because when you come to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and that's like wrestling, grappling with submissions, chokeholds, and arm bars and stuff, because another great community. Nothing says, no better way to love your friend than to choke them out. But when people come new, what I tell them is do jiu-jitsu till you love jiu-jitsu, because you're going to hate it in the very beginning. It's not that fun at all for a few months, but do it till you love it. Same thing with this. Serve till you love to serve, because it won't happen automatically, but when you start serving, when God fills your heart with that fog happiness of reaching outside yourself, Your eyes will open and you'll be, and anyone who's ever served in ministry realizes this. You'll be poured out blessing. Final thing I'd like to do is if you could pull out your envelope, offering, shake it around. And here's what I want you to do. Decide in your heart what you're to give. Again, same thing with your money. Don't do it because I'm telling you to, or Miles is telling you to, or anyone to. Just say, God, what do you want me to do? Because that is one of those ones where the rubber meets the road. They say the wallet's the last thing to get saved. You know, the reason is it's hard to do that. But you know what? That's where God works. When you take those steps of faith, when you're like, ah, this doesn't make any sense to me at all. Tithe, that's a lot. That's just too much for me. Lord, again, we thank you for these tithes and offerings this morning. We thank you for these people that you brought here today for such a time as this. I pray that they would truly go out and be changed today. That change that happens in a moment for those who are just coming and sitting on Sunday, that change would happen today. And whatever that looks like, Lord, whether it's with their money, with their time, with how they treat others, whatever they look like, that looks like, Lord, let that be on you to pour out that on them. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be part of such an awesome church. I thank you for Miles and his anointing to preach the gospel. I pray we would always take all the gifts that you've given us and be generous and give them to others. Jesus, we love you and we praise you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.